It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life living for the Lord. And you know that if you are saved and you are living for Him today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to ask Him to come into your heart right now. Lord, forgive me my sin. I receive You as my Savior. I'm turning everything over to You. And might I say that for some people that may seem like, oh, I'm giving up everything for the Lord. Well, in essence, you are, but you're not. He's going to give you even more than you ever bargained for and more than this life has to offer. He offers you eternal life, and you can receive that eternal life and realize that Jesus Christ, He came, He lived, and He died. He is God. He died for you. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He died. Thank God He's alive today. And because He's alive, you can live. You can live by trusting Him as your Savior. You can receive the free gift that God offers to all men and women today. And that free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No man comes to the Father except through Him, through Jesus Christ. Well, today on It's a Good Life, we want to continue our study in chapter 6 of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we pick our study up with verses 3 through 6. And I ask this question, what if? What if? In verses 3 through 6, it says, if a man begat 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial. In other words, even if he does not die physically, Solomon goes on to say, I say that an untimely birth is better than he, for he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? Well, now let's look at these verses one at a time. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 3 once again says, if a man beget 100 children, live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, even if he does not die physically, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. If a man fathers 100 children, and lives many, many years, but his soul is not satisfied with what he has. In other words, the good. Even if this man doesn't die, a stillborn, untimely child is better off than that man. That's what that means there, untimely, stillborn. In other words, the child was conceived and the child was born, but born stillborn, not no breath. That child is better off than that man, according to verse 3, even though, according to verse 4, he cometh in with vanity. The child comes in vanity, with nothing, that stillborn child, and departs in darkness. In other words, the child never saw the light of day. In Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 6 and verse 4 goes on to say, and this child departs in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Nobody knows. The child's name is covered with darkness. There's no name and no life, according to verse 4. And in verse 5, moreover, he hath not seen the sun nor known anything. The child has not seen the sun, or he hasn't seen anything. In verse 5, this hath more rest than the other. That stillborn child has more rest than the afflicted of verse 2. And we read that in verse 5. In Ecclesiastes 6:6 says, yea, though he live 1,000 years, this is the man that's living now, yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? Even if the person of verse 2 of chapter 6, of verse 2, lives 2,000 years, but still does not recognize the good he has had, he is no better off, and even not as well off, as the stillborn child, because each go to the same place. The grave. Actually, it's verses 3 through 6 we read about this. I said verse 2 a few minutes ago. It's 3 through 6 we read about this man. Well, let's look further now, and we look in verses 7 through 12, and I see here the reflections on riches. You notice how Solomon talks about life and death and riches, having this and having that and not having. And the main thing that I believe that God is trying to get across to us here is that everything comes from Him, even the ability to enjoy the things that come from Him. The things that you say, well, wait a minute, now I've worked for everything I've got. I've worked hard, and the things that I have, I've worked hard. Well, God has given you the ability to work hard. God wants you to work hard. But God wants you to understand that the things that you have in this life is not the most important things for your life. The most important thing that you can have is Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, the most important thing for you is to serve Jesus Christ. And the first way I believe that we serve Him is to tell others about Him, letting them know that there's more to this life and the next life. That eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. Well, notice verses 7 through 12 now of Ecclesiastes chapter 6. First of all, verses 7 through 9 says, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Riches cannot satisfy the soul, according to verses 7 through 9. And if you read Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16 and chapter 19 and verse 1 and chapter 28 and verse 6, you'll see that this also is we see that as carried out, or we see the evidence of that, that the riches cannot satisfy the soul. Verse 7, all work of a man is for sustenance, the necessities of life, but he is never satisfied. The natural man is never satisfied. He wants more and more and more. It's as though he's searching for something. I got news for you. God has, he says, the search ends here with me. Everything that you have comes from me, and the ability to enjoy the things that you have comes from me. In verse 8, the first part of that verse says, for what hath the wise man, or what hath the wise more than the fool? What's the difference between the wise and the fool? What does the wise have that the fool doesn't? Verse 8. Adam Clark's commentary on the Bible, according to him, in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 8 says, for what hath the wise man, the wise more than the fool? They must both labor for the same end. Both depend upon the labor of themselves or others for the necessaries of life. Both must eat and drink in order to live, and the rich man can no more eat two meals at a time than he can comfortably wear two changes of raiment. The necessaries of life are the same to both. Their condition in life is nearly similar, liable to the same diseases, disillusion, and death. The next part of verse 8 says, what hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? What does the poor person possess? Who knows how to live his life properly before others? And that would be the living. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16, I mentioned these verses before. Now let's read them. Proverbs 15, 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I've met a lot of people in my ministry. And I might say that I've seen all kinds. I've seen rich and I've seen poor. And I've met poor people who are happier than the rich person. These people may not have a lot of anything, but they are happy because what they have, they give God the glory for. They've learned to be satisfied with what God has given them, and they rejoice with what God has given them. Proverbs 19:1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. We need to learn to live with what God has given us. We need to realize that, once again, everything comes from God, even the ability to enjoy what we have. Once again, I've seen poor people who are happier than that rich person who wants to get more and more and more and is never satisfied. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Well, verse 9, it is better to have something that is real, in other words, that can be seen, than simply to wish for something you don't have. This is desiring something that maybe somebody else has, you want it. We shouldn't do that. Only wishing for something without taking action to get it is worthless and only produces frustration. Now, once again, wanting something that someone else has is contrary to the Word of God. We see something and we want it. The Bible says we need to work for it. And when we get it, we need to give God the glory because He is the one who's made it possible for us to have it. Through our life, I thank God daily for the breath that He gives me. I thank God for being able to wake up in the mornings. I thank God for giving me the strength to make it through another day. And I thank God for what He's given me in this world to use. In other words, the necessary things for life, the things that He has provided, and the ability to use those things that He's provided. And I wonder today, have you given God all the glory in your life? Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you do know Him as your Savior, you need to be giving Him all the glory. Remember, it's only what we send on ahead that's going to count. We send things on ahead to heaven. Those things are that we work for Him on this earth. Now, once again, I'm not saying that you don't work to make a living, but I'm saying that as you work, you need to give God the glory and realize that it comes from Him. And then you need to be working for Him and telling others about Jesus Christ. You need to belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church, one that teaches the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God, not straying, but teaching the actual Word of God. I use the King James Version. I see no use in using any other version that comes from a man. I see using the King James Version is the most accurate. And we should not stray from something that has been proven down through the ages. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you need to ask Him to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I can't save myself. Please save me. I receive You as my Savior right now. You have just listened to Lesson 11 of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where He said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study His book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study Lesson 12 of Ecclesiastes. For those of you who are saved, don't be discouraged. Keep looking to the Lord. The Lord is coming soon, and we just need to keep our eyes wide open because He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and then we will be caught up together with Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.